For August 5th to order, and we'll start off with introduction of a bill, LC 3797, courtesy of my fellow co-chair, Representative Wren.
Well, thank you, Mr. Co-chair. LC 3797 abolishes the Dispute Resolution Commission. The Department of Justice will be responsible for transferring filing fee surcharge revenue to counties to support community dispute resolution programs and will prepare a biennial report with recommendation on the state role in funding of community programs. Filing fee surcharge revenue will also be used to support mediation and arbitration services in the Judicial Department, which will offset general fund costs for these services. The co-chairs recommend approval of this LC bill for filing.
Any discussion? Yes, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I have to say I'm at a slight disadvantage given that I just walked into the room and have not had a chance to peruse this LC draft in all of its detail. But I understand at one point there may have been some discussion about the possibility of the functions and some revenue traveling both to the University of Oregon Law School to do some of this work at the community level and some of the responsibility moving to the Hatfield School at PSU. And I simply, for the benefit of the committee, wanted to know what had happened with those discussions or those possibilities.
Those possibilities were discussed, and it was determined, at least for purposes of this draft, that the state would be better served by having the function of review performed by the Department of Justice.
By way of further explanation, the first alternative suggests that constitutional problems. This one will enable the dispute resolution to do its great work at the community level for this biennium.
Thank you for that level of detail.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Sherman?
Yes.
I'm going to object.
Senator Gordley. Okay. Very good.
I'd like to be reported as an objection.
Of course, Senator Gordley, Representative Johnson, as objection.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Devlin?
Mr. Chairman, I am not an objection, but I do know that the number of reiterations that this particular matter has went through, and while I would have preferred some of the alternatives, I prefer some of the functions of the commission continue. So I'll be an aye.
Appreciate that. It's been a high priority, I think, for this body. That sometimes it gets lost in the difficulty of the discussions and negotiations we go through. And I want everyone to understand that I'm a strong supporter, but it's important to keep this function going. Times are tough. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just in light of the obvious interest in this bill and this function, is there a scenario in terms of where it's going to light? Will it be staying in Ways and Means? Will it be a House bill? Budget committees, public safety.
At this, if I may, Mr. Co-Chair, it's my understanding this will remain in Joint Ways and Means, probably go through the Public Safety Subcommittee. That.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, LC is introduced as discussed. Budget bills reported out of subcommittee. House Bill 5009, Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5009 is the budget bill for the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. In this budget, the state supports the operation of Oregon's 17 community colleges, provides these colleges with state-level leadership and technical assistance, funds the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps, and allocates federal and other funds to support workforce, adult basic education, and professional technical programs. The recommended budget includes $425.1 million of general fund that will be transferred directly to the community colleges through the Community College Support Fund. Although this is $38 million less than the amount originally approved for the prior biennium, it does represent a $20.7 million increase in state and local resources over the level that the governor's budget originally supported. $10.7 million of this general fund total is appropriated to the Emergency Board to supplement community college funding. The Emergency Board is authorized to allocate these funds after the State Board of Education considers revisions to the Community College Support Fund distribution formula. The subcommittee made a number of other adjustments to help address the state's budget shortfall. The budget removes funding for a vacant position, reduces funding for other positions with recent retirements, removes funding for inflation, and eliminates funding of merit increases for state agency employees. Administrative expenses are reduced to further $140,000, and general fund support for the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps is suspended for the biennium. Federal and other funded programs are approved at projected revenue levels with administrative savings transferred to local workforce service providers. Your education subcommittee recommends that House Bill 5009 be amended by the Dash 2 amendments and reported out do pass as amended.
Is there discussion? Yes, Representative Butler.
Mr. Chair, a question to Carrier, if I may. The special purpose appropriation of $10.7 million for the community colleges to be distributed following the adoption by the Board of Education of the revised formula of distribution. Is there some prerequisite relative to that revision in the formula for distribution, or can we assume that because we're reserving that special purpose appropriation back, that we anticipate that there is some problem with the current formula that we know that is going to be corrected?
I think is generally well known that there is an issue surrounding local property tax revenue that is raised in some community college districts. There currently is a work group of community college presidents that are looking at that issue and other issues surrounding the distribution formula. And the budget note simply prescribes a time frame for that process to be completed. And upon completion of the process, the appropriation will be released.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Yes, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question to Kerry. On the federal funds, there's a $25 million decrease from 0103. Has there been a significant change in federal policy, or is that just kind of trueing up based on the revenue that was raised?
I think I would defer to staff to give us the background on this issue.
Thank you, Representative and members. You are right. You note that there is a decline in federal funds. There are two things that are going on that are causing that decline. The main cause is that the appropriations that the Congress is approving are declining,
yes.
And that is being reflected here. Another thing that is going on in this budget that may appear to make the federal funds decline by more than they are is that a portion of the federal funds for the first time are being approved to be spent on a non-limited basis, and therefore these no longer show up in the limitation. The funds that the agency will be allowed to spend without limitation are those that it acquires from the National Emergency Grant Program, where money is awarded to the state to deal with mass layoff situations. So these are grants that are applied for and then awarded to help address large layoffs.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Questions? Senator Carter.
Just a comment, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the work of the subcommittee and appreciate the additional dollars that were given to community colleges, because I think it's incumbent for all of us to remember, but for the community college, nobody is doing workforce development. If we're going to put people back to work, this is the means by which we do it in terms of skill development as well as life skill training. And so if we're going to reach the John Does down on the streets of who's doing the infrastructural kind of work in the state, it's certainly community colleges that is doing the job. So thank you very much for your work.
Further discussion? I'd just like to point out this is a strong bipartisan effort to put more money back into community colleges, and the state of Oregon should appreciate that. All right. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 5052, Oregon Student Assistance Commission. Representative T. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5052 is the budget bill for the Oregon State's for the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. This commission administers state and privately funded scholarship programs, the Federal Student Loan Guarantee Program, and the Office of Degree Authorization. The budget includes funding for the state's primary student aid program, the Oregon Opportunity Grant. The Opportunity Grant assists lower-income students who attend an Oregon four-year college or community college. The recommended budget includes a total of $41.2 million for opportunity grants, equal to a 5.5% increase over last biennium's level. The subcommittee added $8.8 million of general fund for opportunity grants, which more than offset the reduction in lottery funds that are available for the program. Support is also restored to a level that makes Oregon eligible for the maximum amount of federal matching funds available for this program. The subcommittee made a number of other adjustments to help address the state's budget shortfall. The budget removes funding for 8 vacant positions, removes funding for inflation, and eliminates funding of merit increases for agency employees. Administrative expenses are reduced a further $100,000, and general fund support for the former Foster Youth Scholarship Program is suspended for the biennium. General fund for the Office of Degree Authorization is reduced $200,000, with the office given authority to spend fee revenue to help offset this reduction. Expenses in the Federal Student Loan Guarantee Program are reduced by actions to eliminate funding for vacant positions, merit increases, and inflation. The agency will need to make additional reductions to maintain its participation in that program. The Commission will report twice to the Emergency Board during the interim on how it is adjusting its participation in the Loan Guarantee Program. Your Education Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 5052 be amended by the Dash 1 amendments and reported out to pass as amended.
Discussion. Objection. Seeing none, we'll pass House Bill 5052, do pass to the House with the Dash 1 amendments. House Bill 5061A, Department of Human Services, Fee Bill 2001-03, Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5061 is back before the full committee for a technical fix. The bill ratifies fees established or increased during the 2001-03 biennium. The bill needs to be amended to correct fee descriptions relating to the public health laboratory. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5061 be amended and repassed to the floor as amended.
Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, we'll move House Bill 5061A to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Senate Bill 5522, Government Standards and Practices Commission, Senator Schrader. Senate Bill 5522 is the budget bill for Government Standards and Practices Commission. The agency regulates activities of lobbyists and ethics of public officials and enforces laws regarding executive sessions of public bodies. It also conducts educational sessions for public officials, lobbyists, and distributes an ethics manual. General fund is the principal source of the revenue for this agency. About 1% comes from the sale of publications and materials. The other fund source has been declining because of more access to the materials on the Internet. Recommended budget is $576,485 general fund, $5,902 other funds, and 2.8 FTE. The General Government Subcommittee reduced the governor's budget for the agency by $37,950. The reductions are $18,583 in all funds from the statewide salary freeze, lower attorney general and DAS charges, and inflation. The subcommittee also adjusted the executive support specialist position to 0.8 FTE with a general fund reduction of $19,367. The vacant investigator position was eliminated. The subcommittee discussed workload management with a lower staff level and meeting performance goals. The agency may use staff resources flexibly to address workload variations. Performance measures were approved with the direction of the changes suggested by the review committee be incorporated. And the recommendation also includes a budget note directing the agency to work with LFO, Department of Administrative Services, and the local governments who cause most of the burden for the agency to look at funding options and ways to mitigate the filing of complaints. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that Senate Bill 5522 be amended and reported out to pass. Discussion. Yes, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I appreciate you bringing this forward. The reduction of the executive support specialist position to 8/10 of full-time equivalent for a savings of $19,367. I think the agency felt like that they could find the savings of $19,367 within the agency without that reduction. However, I understand that this is important to some of the folks, so That's how this came out of committee. I just wanted to make sure that we understood that the agency felt like that they might be able to better use that or better manage that cost savings within the agency if we gave them more latitude. And I appreciate the fact co-chairs may feel differently about that, but it still is a savings of $19,367.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Winters.
And I need to comment because I will be a no, and it's for that reason. This is a very, very small agency, and reducing the administrative position, which happens to be occupied by a female, and putting where they don't have the ability to move their own money around and to where they may need that position 100%, not 0.8%, I think it puts the agency in a very awkward position of where they're not able to constructively manage. And I would hope that where we have small agencies like this that do not have the ability to either borrow from someone next door, like in some of our agencies, if I'm looking at health services, which is in Portland, this agency is outstationed in a place here in Salem that they can't tap resources from someplace else. And I think they should have the ability to be able to utilize the money. I have no problem with the reduction, but I think that for me, we should give them the opportunity to realize their savings and to manage inside of their own budget. And for that reason, I will be a no.
Just to make sure to correct the record, I mean, the agency does have the ability to use those staff resources flexibly. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Senator Winters, but I actually came to a different conclusion on the bill. And the reason being is that the bill from the governor's recommended budget is about a 5% reduction overall. And when you compare it to all of the other budgets that we've passed out, it's relatively light by comparison to some of the other budgets in terms of the reduction. It probably would have been better to take the $19,000 that's related to the 0.2 of a position and just say, find a way to make those cuts and give you the latitude to do that. But quite honestly, when Representative Johnston voiced that alternative, I didn't hear any buy-in from either the executive director or the chair of the commission in that alternative. So I think in some ways that would have been preferable, but it's a time and session when we need to pass budgets, and so I came to the conclusion to vote for the budget.
Further discussion? Seeing none, objections?
Objection.
Senator Gordley and Senator Winters. Seeing no others, we'll pass Senate Bill 5522, Government Standards and Practices Commission, to the Senate floor with due pass recommendation. Other bill, report out of subcommittee, Senate Bill 867A. Senator... Carter, please. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Senate Bill 867 creates an advisory committee of electronic product stewardship within the Economic and Community Development Department. The bill directs the committee to develop recommendations, explore opportunities, and examine infrastructure in the state for the reuse and recycling of used electronic products. The committee is required to report its findings to the legislature before January 31, 2005. All funds received by the Economic and Community Development Department will be paid into an advisory committee on electronic product stewardship fund separate and distinct from the general fund. The bill directs the advisory committee to not begin carrying out its responsibilities until at least $25,000 has been received and deposited into the fund. The bill includes a repeal date of January 6, 06. The Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends SB 867 be amended and reported out, due pass as amended. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to say this: when this bill was heard, it was exciting to see the players that came together across interest groups to be supportive of this measure, and so we do appreciate a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator Carter. Further discussion?
Sounds exciting to me.
Representative Johnson and Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. A question, please. With respect to the $25,000 received, I'm making the assumption that that would be received from private sources, perhaps business, the high technology sector making an investment. Is that a correct assumption?
That is a correct assumption.
Thank you.
No general fund dollars here.
Thank you.
Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make certain that my notes are accurate with regard to the status. Is that then another funds limitation of $25,000? And number two, do we have a federal fund line item there as well that where we may be able, for some of the good programs that are being advocated in Senate Bill 867, I think we can anticipate some rather substantial federal funds for the grant applications that are out there, in addition to the other fund industry amounts that would be available to the state.
Mr. Chairman, in the discussion this morning, it is presently listed as in other funds, but the money will be directed to the general fund upon receipt of further dollars into the system.
So the federal funds could be applied for.
I hear from Senator Dukes.
The federal funds could be applied for, and they would remain federal funds at that point, but that we do have a line item limitation.
Instead of them going to, say, the Oregon Economic Development Community Development Fund, they will go into general fund.
And then be expended to meet the obligations under Senate Bill 867.
That's right.
Thank you.
Further clarifications necessary? Seeing none, is there objection? Seeing none, then we'll report Senate Bill 867A as amended to the Senate with the due pass recommendation. Other business, Department of Human Services, Senator Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Legislative Committee on Ways and Means approve the submission of a federal information systems grant application to the National Library of Medicine. The grant is approximately $150,000 per year for 3 years and is not renewable. If the funds are awarded, the Department of Human Services will streamline 20 of their existing databases into one centralized database. Implementation of the new centralized data system will improve the management of data and improve service delivery and access to services for Oregonians living with HIV and AIDS. There are no matching fund requirements, and if awarded, the Department of Human Services will request any needed federal funds expenditure limitation at a future meeting of the Emergency Board. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval of this request.
Discussion? Objection? Seeing none, we'll recommend approval of federal grant application for centralized data system. Department of Human Services, Representative T. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Legislative Committee on Ways and Means approve the submission of a federal Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome and Severe Pneumonia Syndrome grant application. Approximately $150,000 will be awarded for the period September 1 through December 29, 2003, with another award possible for the calendar year 2004. The grant application is due August 14, 2003. The grant is awarded. The Department of Human Services will work with hospitals in Oregon to develop an efficient way of identifying and reporting health care workers admitted with respiratory illnesses. There are no matching fund requirements, and if awarded, the Department of Human Services will request any needed federal fund expenditure limitation at a future meeting of the Emergency Board. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval of this request.
Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, we'll recommend approval of federal grant application in regard to respiratory illness. With that, we are adjourned. Keep your calendars closely watched because we're moving.